Good morning. This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. After much debate from opponents who fear an increase in noise pollution along with other concerns and supporters who argued that jobs were at stake, the Air Force recently announced that the Vermont Air National Guard would be awarded F-35 fighter jets in the year 2020. But a mitigation and management plan for the site says the arrival of the jets will increase the area impacted by jet noise, a circumstance that had jet opponents concerned that their objections were warranted and ignored by the Guard. Well, here to tell us more about the mitigation plan for the F-35s is Colonel Thomas Jackman, commander of the 158th Fighter Wing of the Vermont National Guard, and Adam Wright, environmental manager of the 158th Fighter Wing. And gentlemen, thank you both so much for being with us.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start off with a question that has been asked before, but it bears asking again. How loud will these F-35s be, and how will the noise affect houses surrounding the airport?
Well, the way we are going to fly the F-35, we will be flying the F-35 in military power, which right now we fly the F-16s with afterburner for the majority of our takeoffs. And if you look in the EIS, the footprint for an F-35 in military power is actually quieter and smaller than an F-16 in afterburner. So we understand the concerns out there, but we believe we're going to be able to operationally mitigate the noise and keep the F-35 footprint actually smaller than the current footprint that we have laterally with the F-16.
EIS is Environmental Impact Statement?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask about that afterburner issue, because you're right. The afterburner is, I think, what makes that F-16 sound pretty loud. Folks that live in the Winooski, South Burlington, Burlington area know what I'm talking about. There have been some concerns that when the F-35 gets here, that eventually it, too, may have to use afterburners because it's designed for things like bombing capability, which, you know, it's heavier, so that you're going to need to use the afterburner. Is that a possibility?
The Air Force is just beginning to experiment with flying the F-35 on a partial fuel load, which is what we would anticipate doing here. So we wouldn't fly the aircraft with a full load of fuel because we don't need to fly it for 3.5 hours. So a partial load of fuel, the aircraft weighs less, requires less power to take off. The other thing that we do with the F-16 is we have external wing tanks. The F-35, all of that is loaded internally, so there won't be any external drag on the aircraft, and we don't anticipate loading external stores on the F-35 flying out of here in Vermont. So that's why we truly believe that we'll be flying the majority of our missions in military power with the F-35.
Adam Wright, let me ask you, 2,000, perhaps 2,000 more households will be impacted by the noise, and that's 2,000 more than the ones already affected that are by the airport and the jets. Now, how many more people potentially could be displaced when the F-35 begins flying?
Well, right now, the airport has said that they don't anticipate needing to purchase any more properties, and should step back and say that is all an FAA process. We'll actually get to that point again where they update their noise compatibility program and discuss other options for mitigations. And there are other mitigation options available through FAA that don't involve purchasing properties. So I think all of those are going to be explored this time.
Would those include things like insulating homes against noise or doing things that could make a home less vulnerable to excess noise?
Possible. Insulation, window work, stuff like that.
Much of the criticism from opponents of the F-35s, and specifically for this mitigation plan we're talking about, is that the report says the strategy moving ahead is to essentially wait until the jets arrive, study the noise, and then act. And I wonder, is that a little like trying to put out a fire after it's already started rather than trying to prevent one in the first place? I mean, why wait?
I think that sense probably came from some of my comments during the press conference. And I want to make sure the community understands that we are not waiting. We are actively engaged to actually validate the noise mitigation measures that we're working on over the next 6 years. Won't be able to happen until the F-35s arrive here in 2020. But in the interim, we're actively engaged with Lockheed Martin and with the Air Force to improve the noise modeling to understand exactly what the impact's going to be here at Burlington, Vermont. We are also very active in sending pilots and maintainers to other F-35 bases and talking to the pilots that fly the airplane and get a better sense on the actual performance of the airplane and how we believe We can fly the airplane here in Vermont to minimize the impact on the community and actually try to achieve what my goal is of making the F-35 actually quieter and more compatible with the community.
Well, Colonel Jackman, what is the purpose of the mitigation plan then?
We knew when we announced the mitigation and management plan that we'd probably get critiqued that there weren't any details in the plan, but that's not what that tool is used for. There wasn't supposed to be details in the plan, but that plan has identified who is responsible for continuing to monitor those action items inside the environmental impact statement. And we are mandated by federal law to follow up, and we will modify that plan as we need to when new information is discovered.
Would it be possible to bring one or several F-35s here, measure the noise over these communities that will be affected, see how it works in real time here where it's going to affect people?
I couldn't agree with you more, and I've actually sought after that actively. The F-35s right now are not allowed to go outside of the Air Education and Training Command. So we actually asked if we could get an exemption of that right now. It doesn't look promising to be able to get an exemption to bring it in anytime in the near future. But I do fully expect that the program will continue to mature. And as soon as the program has matured to the level where they'll allow F-35s to fly to another base, you can believe I'll be first one standing at the front of the line going, can you send one to Vermont, please? Because the community wants that.
You know, we're not in the Utah desert out here. You're talking about these jets flying over Winooski, South Burlington, Burlington, densely packed communities. Are there concerns about flight risks, given that this is a new plane, essentially, that will be flown here for the first time?
The F-35 to date has an amazing safety record. It's got 15,000 hours on it. It's probably unprecedented for a single-engine fighter. We expect to get the F-35 in 2020. It will be a mature system by then. I'm not concerned that we're accepting any increased risk by bringing the F-35 here.
You know, one of the things that's been, I think, very difficult in this whole process has been the idea that there were folks in these communities who were concerned about things like reduced property values, is the noise level too loud for school kids, things like that. At the same time, I think a lot of those folks respect what the Vermont Air National Guard does. They certainly don't want the loss of jobs, but their concern still is opponents who did not want to see these planes here, that now that it's a done deal, now that they're coming, that there won't be this effort to really mitigate the noise, to really make sure that these things aren't as loud or louder than the F-16. What's the message you would like to send to those folks who are still dubious?
My message is that we are committed to working with the community. The Guard is part of that same community. Our kids are the same ones in your same schools. They're the same ones that play at the same ballparks. And we want to genuinely be the best neighbor we can. I promise we're committed to listening, and I promise we're committed to exploring any opportunities we can to mitigate that noise. We've done it with the F-16. One of the things that we found out when we reached out to the community is that our landing pattern was interfering with some of the teachers at Winooski High, and we weren't aware of that. We extended the pattern by probably 1,000 feet, but it had an enormous impact to compensate for the noise at Winooski High School. And we've done other things. We've changed the way we come into land now. We used to come in, you know, at 1,500 feet, which is a standard approach pattern for Air Force aircraft. We modified that. So now we get 10 miles out and we're at 10,000 feet. We pull the power back when the weather permits, and we come in with a reduced power setting all the way into to where we pitch out, to where we put the gear down.
I briefly want to ask Adam, and sort of get just a follow-up to this here. There have been concerns from people who are saying, look, these planes are so loud, I'm worried about, you know, my five-year-old, and can it do permanent damage to the ear somehow, or elderly people. How much of a concern is there over the sound that these kind of jets can make from an environmental standpoint? Is it unhealthy for people?
Well, the EIS says that there's not much evidence to show the noise level over 75 dB average to have adverse health effects. And part of what the mitigation plan is designed to do, it's necessarily somewhat vague because we don't know some of what we're going to do here yet, but it also is a framework to hold the Guard and the federal government accountable to actually continue working on this. So that's another way we promise to proceed with mitigation measures. Don't know what they all are yet, but this document, as required in the Record of Decision, requires that we, as a federal agency, continue to work on it. And we specifically tie it into the FAA Part 150 noise compatibility program that the airport runs. So working together, we can address those issues. And if at the end of the day there continues to be noise impacts that need to be mitigated further, this makes us address those.
Colonel Thomas Jackman is the wing commander of the 158th Fighter Wing for the Vermont Air National Guard. Thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And Anna Wright is environmental manager of the 158th Fighter Wing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.